Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. Have you ever sat around on a long winter night and swapped stories? That used to be a big part of how people spent winter nights, gathering the family to fend off the chill with a good tale. And while sometimes the stories were true, just as often they were stretched a little bit, filling the time between the beginning of the story and the end of the story with bigger-than-life adventures that were their own kind of exciting and funny and fantastical. Our friend Kim Whitecamp has been known to stretch a story or two, and she came from her home in Ohio to the Appleseed Studio to tickle our audience with a story we think you'll love. It's a wintertime story, but whether this day finds you bundled up by a fire or in a lawn chair in shorts and a t-shirt, every time of year is the right time of year for Kim Whitecamp's rollicking tale, The Forbidden Souped-Up Sled Ride.
It was winter break, and it was a Friday, and I was so excited. It was the first day of winter break, and I jumped out of bed, put up the blind, looked out the window to see if there was any snow, and sure enough, there was a blanket of fresh white snow. Yes. I put on my Snoopy t-shirt, my bell bottoms, and my Keds. I ran downstairs. I'm like, Mom, can I please go out and sled? She goes, no, first you need to eat your breakfast. Okay. So I ate my breakfast, got done. I'm like, Mom, now can I go out and sled? I already saw kids coming down Farm Drive Hill on their sleds. I was so excited. She goes, no, you have to do your chores. And I said, woman, you're killing me. And she said, what? I said, I love you. I'm going to go do my chores. So I did my chores. And when I was done, I'm like, now can I go? And she said, yes, now you can go. Now, what I have to tell you is my sled was not a bright pink or neon green plastic dish from the Walmart, right? Mine was a Spartan sled. And my Spartan sled was handed down to me. Well, actually, it was handed down from my brother Gary to my brother Chris and then to me. My Spartan sled was made of slats of wood, red metal blades that we'd wax for speed, a rope on the front, and a glide handle. The glide handle was like a boomerang-shaped piece of wood that was on the front, and you could ride it one of two ways. You could put the rope over your shoulder and put your feet on the glide handle, hold the rope, and use your feet to go left or right, or you could ride it the way I liked to ride it, belly down, facing the front, rope over my shoulder, snow spitting at me in the eye, holding the glide handle. I put on my puffy coat, my scarf, my boots, and ran into the garage. Now remember, this was the first snow and the first day of winter break, so I had not ridden my sled for weeks and months, and so I wasn't sure where it was. So I looked around, and finally, behind a croquet set, which we never used, behind some boxes that I couldn't move, I saw the silhouette of my sled. I reached around on the floor, felt the rope, pulled hard, and it skittered out into the middle of the garage under the fluorescent lights. I looked at it and my heart sank. The last time I had used it, I'd put it away wet. And now, instead of smooth wood, there were splinters sticking up. And on the red, beautiful metal blades, there was amoeba-shaped spots of rust. And the rope had black growing on it. And my hand smelt like the sponge on the back of my grandma's sink. And I thought, what am I going to do? I just want to ride my sled. And then I remembered my Uncle Norm. My Uncle Norm is the great inventor of our family. He invented wonderful things like the Lazy Susan. His wife's name was Susan. And he had bought her an exercise. He had bought her an exercise bike. And she never used it. And he would say, I spent $400 on that, and all you do is hang laundry on it to dry. Well, he got so tired of it, he invented the Lazy Susan, which was kind of like those walkways at the airport that move on their own, but it was a circle. And so she could just stand on it and move in a circle and feel like she was getting exercise, but not really doing much of anything. The cool thing was it came with a chip and dip attachment and a little plastic cup holder. I think he's just brilliant. Another thing he invented was the Waste Your Time watch. Back in the early 70s, when I was a young kid running around outside, Casio came out with the first digital watch. Everybody had one. Ooh, so important. I got my Casio digital watch. Well, he got so sick and tired of people walking around acting like they were busy looking at their watches that he invented the Waste Your Time watch. And this is what it was. It was actually shaped almost like the iWatches of today. But if you checked it for the time and pushed the button, instead of the time, you'd get a useless piece of information like this. The octopus has three hearts, and yet it is still emotionally unavailable. So, you know, if anyone can fix my sled, my Uncle Norm could fix my sled. I was so excited. I grabbed that nasty rope, picked up the sled, went out the door, dropped it into the yard, into the snow, trudged through the yard, across the road to where he lived, catty corner from us. I knocked on the door. Now, at Uncle Norm's, two things were going to happen, one of two things. Either it would swing wide and he'd say, come on in. That would be awesome. He loved going to his house. Or it would crack, and he'd say, I'm working on something. Well, this time the door just cracked, and I thought, oh, man. I said, Uncle Norm, I said, I need my sled fixed. He goes, Kimmy, I'm in the middle of something really big. I said, but look at it. And he goes, oh, man. Okay, give it to me. Give me about 3 hours and come back. So I gave him the sled, and then I took off and ran and played. About 3 hours later, I went back and knocked on the door, and I heard, come in, from deep within the house. The whole house was dark, except down the hall towards the kitchen, the light was on. So I went in there, and what a kitchen it was, like none you'd ever seen before in your life. There were bottles and beakers and bubbles and flames. There were mechanical things and parts and wires hanging everywhere, wheels and gears. And there in the middle of it all was my Spartan sled. I was so excited. I said, thanks, Uncle Norman. I went to run and grab it, and he said, no, stop. He said, don't touch it. And I said, why? I said, is it still wet? Because he had taken and gotten the rust off and put a quick coat of cherry red paint. He had put a new rope and he had oiled the wood. It looked gorgeous. And I said, is it just sticky or what? And he said, no, I have to show you something. He lifted it up and held it in front of him so that the belly of the sled was towards me. And there on the red metal bars that went across to hold on the red metal blades was a black box that he had welded on, a metal black box. And in the middle was a single silver switch. Don't get ahead of me, lady. It was a metal box that he had welded underneath it, and there was a single silver switch in the middle. And he said, Kimmy, when you get up Farm Drive Hill, take 2, 4, 6 steps back. Reach around the front, flick that silver switch, run as fast as you can, 2, 4, 6, 8 steps, drop it down, get on it, get that rope, and hang on, because you're going to get extra jet propulsion. Now, I am still a girl, a woman that loves speed and wheels. I have my whole life. When I was little, I didn't carry baby dolls. I carried a plastic blue case with flames that said Hot Wheels. The fact he said that I was going to get extra jet propulsion was awesome. I said, thanks, Uncle Norm, and he handed it to me, and as I ran out the front door, he said, be careful. I dropped it into the snow, grabbed the rope, and I was ready to get up Farm Drive Hill when I heard the one thing that no kid wants to hear when they're getting ready to take an adventure. Kimmy, kids, time for lunch. Oh, who was it? My mother. I stood there and thought, I haven't even ridden my sled yet. And I thought, woman, you're killing me. And I thought I could lie, tell her I didn't hear her, go up, sled down, and be the last one in. But my mom has a built-in radar detector for lying, as all mothers do, children. And so I went to the house, put it by the front door, went inside, took off my puffy coat, my boots, my scarf, sat down, and there it was, the kind of lunch we always had, peanut butter and jelly and milk. You know, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is just a donut without the hole. I began to shove that sandwich in as fast as I could, glug, glug, glug in my milk. And she said, Kimmy, what is going on with you? You need to slow down. I said, Mom, Uncle Norm fixed my sled. I want to eat quick and get back outside. She goes, oh. She said, honey, you're not going back outside. And I said, what? She said, you're done for the day. I said, I'm in charge of a Christmas party down at the community center. Everybody's coming. I'm in charge of table setup, chair setup, getting the electric candles all battery filled. She said, I'm in charge of making sure that any games are ready. Everything. She said, so when you are done eating, all of you, my brothers and sisters, go get a shower or a bath. There's clothing on your bed to put on. You're not going back outside. Well, they all got up and left. No problem. They were excited. I was devastated. I moped around for a while until my mother said, Kimmy, come here. I walked over, she felt my forehead, and she said, you don't have a fever, what's wrong? I said, Mom, I feel rotten. And she said, what? I said, I feel terrible because, she goes, I don't need to hear it. We have relatives coming in. We have things going on. You're not going tonight. You'll stay home alone. Your dad's meeting us down there. I'll just come home a little early. I said, no, 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 Mom, I'm not sick. She said, cat's out of the bag. You're not going to backpedal now. I said, no, Mom, I feel terrible because, she goes, I don't want to hear it. March to your room. Why do we have to march? I do not know. As I went down the hall to my bedroom, I thought, I can't believe this. She wouldn't even listen to why. And now I don't get to go to the party. No carols, no singing, no games, no cookies. Wait a minute. I'm going to be home alone. Everybody say, bum, bum, bum. I got in bed, pulled up the blanket, and I waited. My mom came in an hour later and put ginger ale and saltines by the bed because that fixed everything back in the 70s. And then she said, Kimmy, I'll be home early. And I listened as all the doors on the station wagon closed and it started up. I jumped out, looked out the same window I looked out that morning, and I watched the taillights of the car go down the road, past my Grandma Anna's, to the right, to where the community center was. I went downstairs, put on my puffy coat, my scarf, and my boots. I ran out, got my sled, dropped it into the snow. And as I made my way up Farm Drive Hill, there was no kids sledding past me. They were all either in eating, because it was dusk, almost dark, or they were going down to the party. I got to the top, took 2, 4, 6, 8 steps back, reached around the front, flicked the switch, and the whole sled hummed with power. I ran as fast as I could, dropped it belly down, rope over my shoulder, grabbed the glide handle, and I shot off the hill. And I was flying right over the top of the trees, right over the peak of the porch roof of our house. I was flying, slicing through the winter air. I tipped the sled, looked down, and saw I was about 232 feet in the air. I was right over Uncle Norm's. He walked out on the porch, and I said, help! He looked up, smiled, and gave me a good old salutin' smile. I tipped the sled back up, and I thought, what am I going to do? I've never flown, let alone on a sled. I've never flown on a sled. I've never flown on anything. And I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't want to do. Wait a minute. I'm flying. My hair was whipping in the wind. My ears were stinging from the cold. Snot was riding back my lip. It was glorious. I turned the glide handle so I could head down towards the creek where I played all the time. And as I shot over it on that sled, hum, the deep power beneath me, my belly warming from the heat of that black box working so hard, I went over the creek and it was frozen, broken in a million pieces. It looked like glass on a blanket of snow. And then I saw the pine trees, and I knew that meant that on the other side was my great-grandma Detter's house. And I thought, I'm going to fly over her house. So I took and put my weight towards the back of the sled to bring the nose up so I could arc up over the pine trees. With the whole power of that sled beneath me humming, mmm, I went up over those pine trees. I cleared with the front of the sled, but as I went down the other side, slap, slap, the tips of the pine trees hit underneath the sled, and that's when things began to go south. Suddenly, that deep, thrumming hum of power started sputtering and coughing underneath me. The heat from the box got hot, and I looked the best I could and saw that there were deep flames shooting out of the bottom. And I thought, I'm not going to make it home. I'm going to wreck. And then I saw Mrs. Raffensperger's roof peak. It was thick with about an inch and a half of ice. And I thought, if I could just get on that and slide off of it and get enough momentum behind me, forward push, maybe I could make it home. I grabbed onto that glide handle, steadied that sled as it wobbled, putt, putt, sputter, sputter, putt, putt, pfft, flames coming out of the bottom. I set my sights on a roof peak and I hit it, bup, up, 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 and I shot off of her roof at a great rate of speed. And as I arced towards home, turning the glide handle, the back end of that sled fishtailing around, I noticed out of my peripheral vision that my red metal sled blades had caught her blue twinkling Christmas lights. And I thought to myself, those lights could impede my landing and make it very difficult. And so with great trepidation, fear, that's the educational part of the program, by the way, I released the glide handle, steadied on that wobbling sled, flames beneath me, and I unhooked the best I could those blue twinkling Christmas lights. I grabbed the glide handle again, and I began to make a knot that my Uncle Norm had taught me. And then I released a small lasso, and I made it bigger until All around me were blue twinkling Christmas lights, flames coming out of the bottom, the whole sled wobbling, pop, putz, butter, butter, pop, putt. I grabbed the glide handle strong, kept the lasso going. I had gotten discombobulated, confused about where I was, so I tipped it to see where I was, and I was going right over the community center. My mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters, my grandmother, everybody in my neighborhood, the whole nativity, Mary, Jesus, Joseph, cows, sheep, goats, were all standing in the driveway looking at me, all out in the parking lot with their little flickering candles, their mouths hanging slacked as they watched me shoot through the sky. I laid low on my sled so they wouldn't know it was me. I didn't want to get in trouble for this forbidden souped-up sled ride. And then I saw the chimney of my house rise up, and with the strength of every Roy Rogers rerun, look it up, kids, I released the lasso, hooked onto the chimney, went around and around and around until, boom, I hit the side of the chimney. The sled, released from my grip, slid across that roof. I tumbled, my coat all crooked, my scarf around my face, and landed in the snow. I heard a psst, shh, as the flames extinguished and the snow turned to steam. I got up, rearranged myself, fixed my scarf, went over and got the sled and dropped it into the snow below. I climbed down the TV antenna ladder, picked up the sled, went into the garage, got one of my mom's cleaning towels, and what did I do? I dried it off. I put it back behind the boxes so that nobody would see it. I went and took off my puffy coat, my scarf, my boots. I went to bed, the cold of my nose and toes stinging as it meant the warmth of my bed. And I fell asleep. Kimmy! Kimmy, wake up. You're not going to believe it. I woke up. All my brothers and sisters were standing around the bed. And I said, man, you won't believe the dream. And then I stopped. I could still taste the prick of the winter wind on my tongue. The tips of my fingers were still tingling, my feet still cold, my hair still damp, and I thought it wasn't a dream. And I looked at him, I said, you are not going to believe what happened to me tonight. My brother Gary said, whatever happened to you can't beat what happened to us. And I said, I promise you it can. He said, Kimmy, no, you're not going to believe it. We were all down at the community center, and we just walked outside with our little candles, and we were going to sing a rousing chorus of Do You See What I See? When all of a sudden through the sky shot a UFO. I said, what? My brother Gary said it was an unidentified flying object. It was an alien ship. And I said, what are you talking about? And he said, it had blue twinkling lights circling the saucer, flames coming out of the bottom. My brother Chris pushed forward. He's a psychotherapist now. And he said, they were trying to speak to us. And I said, who was trying to speak to you? He said, the aliens. I said, really? I said, what were they saying? And he leaned in and he said, putt, putz, butter, butter, putt, putt. Well, I sat there and I thought, okay, do I tell them the truth, possibly get in trouble for that forbidden souped up sled ride, or let them think there's a UFO? And I thought, I just, tell me more about that UFO. And they sat on my bed and told me the story three times, and the flames got deeper and hotter, the lights more brighter, the language more intelligent, until my mom called them to bed and said, get to bed. And they fell asleep dreaming of UFOs in that little town. I fell asleep dreaming of flying on my sled. The next morning, I woke up, and it was Saturday, the only day I got to see my dad for breakfast, and I ran downstairs, and I was going to, as soon as we got done eating, going to take my dad to the shed, which is really like his man cave, and be like, Dad, you're not going to believe what happened, because he was like my human. I loved him so much. And he wasn't there. And I said, Mom, where's Dad? She said, oh, he's out with the UFO search party. Well, they didn't find a UFO that year in Pitts Creek, but I'll tell you one thing. Me and my Spartan sled had an out-of-this-world experience.
That was Kim Whitecamp with the forbidden souped-up sled ride. Now, listening to this story reminds me of a sled from my childhood. When I was a kid, I was in my local Boy Scout troop, and every winter there was a big event called the Klondike Derby. It was a big winter campout, and scout troops from all over the valley would go, and they'd sleep in the snow. Sometimes they'd bring tents, or sometimes make snow tunnels and burrow on down into them in their sleeping bags. And then in the morning came the main event, a big sled race using sleds the troops had made beforehand, making a big frame out of lumber and then screwing a couple of old skis to the bottom of the frame. If you squinted your eyes and tilted your head, you might imagine those sleds in an Arctic sled dog race. I mean, if you had a pretty good imagination. Only the sleds weren't pulled by dogs, they were pulled by Boy Scouts. And there were 30 or 40 of these things in the big race. And the winner would get bragging rights and a trophy, and everyone would go home and spend about a week and a half getting warm again. And I hated the idea. Camping in the snow, freezing all night, and then huffing and puffing through the dragging of a rickety sled around an icy course in a race you were bound to lose among a gaggle of 30 or 40 other scout troops. Listen, I know that even as I describe it, some of you are thinking, yes, that sounds fantastic. And you know what? You can have it. It wasn't for me. So I avoided going. I played sick or pretended I had a junior high band concert or something. But one year, I wound up going, and I remember my troop building a big campfire and watching it for hours as it slowly burned its way down into the snow, making a big hole for itself that gave us a look at just how deep the snow was, 1 foot, 2 feet, 3 feet deep maybe that year. And I remember the very late night talk as we looked into the fire, jokes and camp songs giving way finally to quieter conversation about some of our deepest feelings about school or our futures or about our parents or about God. And I remember the excited hollering of my friends as we hauled that crazy sled we'd built over the icy trail the next morning, up hills and through washes and finally over the finish line. Now, all the things I feared about the Klondike Derby were, it should be said, true. It was freezing cold, miserably cold. And it was a chore pulling that sled along. And we didn't win. I mean, that was all true. But being with those guys, my friends, talking together and cooking together and watching out for each other and pulling together to get through a race, well, the last time I talked to one of those guys was just yesterday. Almost 40 years after the Klondike Derby, that same crew is still leaning on each other to get through some of the miserable stuff. And it's still working. And that's where Kim's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? You know, it was so fun to have Kim Whitecamp in the studio with us. And she followed up her story when she presented it to our audience with a tune we thought we'd go out on today. In fact, I got in on the act too, playing guitar along with Kim in the studio and, well, a little vocalizing too. Here's Kim, and here I am too, with a little thing she calls Let's Go Sledding.
Look out the window, I see some white snow, let's go sledding. Pick up the telephone, tell your friends it's on, let's go sledding. I get such a thrill when I'm going down that hill, wipe your nose upon your sleeve, you can watch your boogers freeze. Put on your knit cap, tighten up your bootstrap, let's go sledding. Put on your puffy coat, get a scarf, protect your throat, let's go sledding. I get such a thrill when I'm going down that hill, wipe your nose upon your sleeve, you can watch your boogers freeze. You're sliding through the snow, wiggle your toes, they're froze, let's go sledding. Your cheeks are rosy red as you pull your sled, let's go sledding. I get such a thrill when I'm going down that hill, wipe your nose upon your sleeve, you can watch your boogers freeze. Come on, Sam.
Flop do tee do the bip tee tee da do the dat dat so the gig gig do the leap tat so the go do do so do 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 da 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 do the git la do the go go lay so do 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 the bop do do the bip bip tat 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 to na da do do go 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 do do day day.
Now you're heading doors where it's nice and warm. We're done sledding. Put on some dry clothes. Sip some hot cocoa. We're done sledding.
Yeah. That was Kim Whitecamp. And a little bit of me, too, with Let's Go Sledding. You got any good sledding stories? Have you ever stretched a memory a bit to make a tale worth telling? Have you ever sneaked out to do something you really wanted to do, even when you were confined to the house? Did you ever do something that seemed difficult or onerous at first that wound up being a reward for you, something you remembered, something you lean on from time to time? What are some of your favorite wintertime adventures, or for that matter, summertime adventures? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, @byu.edu. We want to thank Kim Whitecamp for her story and the music she shared with us today. You've listened to her tale. Now it's time to share one of your own. From parenting tips to overcoming personal hardships, join Lisa Valentine Clark on the BYU Radio podcast, The Lisa Show, where she'll help you take a good look at life.